Jackson, W266, DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Ukraine's President Zelensky is now meeting with President Biden at the White House in his first foreign trip since Russia's invasion 10 months ago.
President Zelensky, the United States stands with the brave people in Ukraine. We stand with you. You've been a great leader.
Zelensky thanked Americans for their continued support.
Really, all my appreciation from my heart, from the hearts of Ukrainians, all Ukrainians.
The visit comes as the U.S. approves another billion-dollar aid package for Ukraine. Anytime now, the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th insurrection is expected to release its final report, including transcripts from thousands of interviews. But CBS's Deborah Alfaron says there's pushback.
Republicans continue to dismiss the bipartisan committee as nothing more than a partisan attack.
It was set up as political theater. It's still political theater. Investigations are to be done by law enforcement, not by some political group out of the House.
The committee already began handing over records and transcripts to the Department of Justice earlier this month.
Millions of Americans are flying today to try to dodge a huge winter storm.
See the big storm coming, negative degrees, 6 inches of snow, so I'm excited to get out of here for sure.
Airlines are already grounding hundreds of flights, but the next few days could be worse as forecasters predict heavy snow, ice, and powerful winds across much of the country. Even the South is bracing for bitter cold. Georgia Governor Brian Kemp says temps could dip near zero Friday.
Anytime that we're talking about temperatures this low, we need to be on the lookout for black ice always.
He plans to declare a state of emergency to expand access to emergency services and supplies like propane. The Biden administration says it's releasing flu medication from its national stockpile.
The administration's move will make the antiviral drug Tamiflu more available as flu cases remain high across the country. Some of the doses that will be sent to states have been in the strategic stockpile for more than a decade, but the FDA says the drug can safely hold on shelves for 20 years. There have been questions about the effectiveness of Tamiflu. It cannot prevent flu transmission, but if taken early enough, the drug has been shown to cut symptoms short by about a day.
CBS's Stephen Portnoy reporting there. The founder of FTX is now getting extradited to face criminal charges here in the U.S. CBS's Vicky Barker.
In a brief court appearance, his lawyers read an affidavit from Sam Bankman-Fried saying he was consenting to be extradited to the U.S. in part from, quote, a desire to make the relevant customers whole. Then court was adjourned, with Bankman-Fried indicating he's ready to go.
He was arrested just last week, after about a month after filing for bankruptcy. The Dow's up more than 500 points this hour. This is CBS News.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Butler to Windlake, always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Nathmeyer with your headlines. Wisconsin Republicans continue pushing for a flat tax, which will reduce the tax rate for the state's highest earners, although they claim taxes will be lowered for people at all income levels. Governor Evers proposing a 10% tax cut for middle-class earners and says he'll veto any flat income tax cut plan. He also wants to cap insulin copays at $35, repeal the state's minimum markup law to lower gas prices, cut taxes for seniors on fixed incomes, expand property tax relief for disabled veterans, and try to lower the cost of caregiving and child care. The governor submits his budget proposal in February. The GOP-led legislature will rewrite and pass the measure sometime during the summer. 400 Wisconsin students heading to Pasadena, California for this year's Rose Bowl parade. The Northwoods Marching Band has been preparing for nearly a year. The parade airs January 2nd at 10 a.m. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 a.m.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Mental health challenges impact us all in some way. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services is working hard to meet these challenges, ushering a new model of mental health care, redesigned with you in mind. This community-based system meets people where they're at, with culturally competent services, better access, and no wrong doors to begin the journey. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services, here for you, close to home. If you or someone you know is experiencing a mental health emergency, contact 414-257-7222.
A silent night, a star above, a blessed gift of hope and love. May this be a Christmas for you and yours from Mia's. Bring in any non-perishables all month long and receive a voucher for Mia's on Clinton Street, delicious home-style Italian. Magellan's, best pizza and craft beers in town, 54 of them on tap. Art and Framing 123 in downtown Waukesha. Come in and meet Dan, the Friday night live artist. And Mary Jane's, all things hemp.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio. Matt Flynn Direct is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy!
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Go tell that. Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you in Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making, a lot of it being made. I want to start with the House Ways and Means Committee and Donald Trump. They just voted the other day to disclose 6 years of his tax returns to the public. They released a 39-page summary. And I want to go over a couple of things. What a preliminary look says, but also why wasn't this disclosed when he ran for president in 2016? The initial disclosure is that the IRS did not audit him annually for a couple of years, even though they're required by law to audit a sitting president. They didn't do it because he appointed the head of the IRS. And they accommodated him by not auditing him for a couple of years. Now, when he refused to disclose his returns back in 2016, when he was running against Hillary Clinton, remember that? He said he couldn't because he was being audited by the IRS. Well, it turns out he wasn't. Secondly, being audited by the IRS does not preclude your publicly disclosing your returns, especially if you're running for president. It was all baloney. But the thing that I'm going to go to the lines. I see you on the lines. I will get to you right away. This show is all about the people on the lines. But I want to make this observation. A lot of people are making hay over the fact that in the summary and some of the early looks at these returns, he's not as wealthy as he said he was. He had losses in a number of years. None of that interests me. I mean, people shoot their mouths off all the time about their wealth. The thing that's most important, because he is on the take, he's on the take from the Russians, is what these tax returns show as far as loans he got from Russia and what he did to pay him back. And let me tell you something. If there are no loans disclosed from Russia or Russian interest, and the loans themselves don't have to be disclosed on a tax return, but any interest paid presumably would result in deductions. And if he's doing his work with the Russians off book, that demands a grand jury in and of itself. His son, Eric Trump, told the journalist a couple of years ago that they've been funded by the Russians for a long time because banks won't give money anymore in this country because he's cheated them, gone bankrupt 6 times and left them holding the bag. In other words, his companies have gone bankrupt. He didn't have to do it himself. One time, he had a personal guarantee, and for some reason, they let him off the hook. But if these returns don't show activity with Russia, when A, his son said that they are being funded by Russia, and B, there's evidence, for instance, He owned a $50 million property down in the Palm Beach area. He needed money to pay off Deutsche Bank. Suddenly, a Ruski came in and offered $100 million for it, double the price. Double the price. He took it, got rid of his debt with Deutsche, got rid of his debt on the thing. And you think the Ruski, $100 million, and an oligarch close to Putin would have, what, made it into a resort, sold it for condo? No. He tore it down and he left it vacant. Now, how would something like that be disclosed on a tax return? He would simply say that he got a real good deal. Well, when you get a real good deal from a crook, there's something crooked in that. And I want to see in this case what interest he paid if he took deductions in repaying the Ruskies. And let me tell you something. If it doesn't show, it means he's doing it off book, or it means he's paying them in something else, like classified documents. So pay a lot of attention to what you hear about these returns. We're going to the lines. Joe of Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Joe?
Thanks so much for the show, man. It's always informative. And I would like to return to a subject that you brought up yesterday, but I think could be returned to again and again and again, and that is the issue of the Pelican River Forest and the nefariousness of our Republican legislature and what they've done with that project. And part of why, one of the reasons why I call is because I find that you are so good at sometimes narrowing things down to a sentence that describes what the problem is. You had coined the phrase, fascism creeps in on little cat feet. And here is an example of this, and you described it with the best way I think anyone ever could have. The problem is, for people who don't know about this project, and perhaps you can explain more, it was one that was part to be funded under the stewardship program. And last year, our Republican legislature changed that stewardship law so that one anonymous legislator can say no to conservation projects indefinitely. This Pelican River project is a 70,000 acre project that will of enormous value in the north, and it's one of the largest land purchases we could have. It would happen under federal dollars, and one person has said no. The question would be, who is that person? Why? What donor is paying him off? What kind of project is underway that they are trying to circumvent such a thing? And in the process, you said, and I thought, I can't think of a better way to say this, you can't have anonymous legislators making law. There's no better way of saying it, Matt. You know, a legislature, if one person anonymously can put the kibosh on a project that would put 70,000 acres under protection, and understand that under protection means you can still have hunting and fishing and sustainable forestry. And I mean, these are, it's jobs. Sustainable forestry is jobs. The tourism that would result from this project is jobs. And one person who is not going to be identified by law, doesn't have to be identified by law that the Republicans put in. It's absolute corruption. And I don't think you can return to this subject enough. I was unaware that there was an Urban Milwaukee piece that said that this is probably about in number 13 of projects that have been kicked aside by this particular legislation that the Republicans put in place, which again says one anonymous legislator can circumvent this whole project, can just say no, despite what the value that it may have for the whole state. So one person is deciding our future on these conservation projects. And what is that person being paid? What's their, there has to be money that follows in that. Why would one person say no to this? I just think, I think you said it best, Matt. You said you can't have anonymous legislators making law. We just can't. So at any rate, I appreciate the way you summed up this project, and I would encourage you to return to it again and again. It is, it just stinks to high heaven. And I thank you so much for bringing it up. Thanks, Matt.
Well, thank you, Joe. And thank you very much for calling in and raising it again. So I am going to raise it again because it has been discussed in the last several days. And for everybody out there, there's this Pelican, there's this forest project. There's a thing called the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Fund after Warren Knowles and Gaylord Nelson. Both of them were governors of Wisconsin, and one of them, Gaylord, was also a senator from Wisconsin. And Knowles is a Republican. Gaylord was a Democrat. And the idea is that you'll set aside money to buy up wilderness type areas, forests, to keep them for the people of the state. In other words, and it is for hunting, fishing, hiking. I mean, everybody can use it, but it can't, for instance, be, you can't develop it into condos. And if you take a look at, for instance, Central Park in New York, if they didn't have protection like that, that entire park would be condos right now. You know that. So what happens here? The Republicans, remember in lame duck and otherwise, have passed a law in this case that says that one anonymous legislator can say no, and you can't find out who it is, and then the project can't go forward. And this one actually covers about 75,000 acres of forest. It protects the headwaters of the Wolf River and tributaries to the Wisconsin River. Now, as Joe pointed out, let me tell you what my objections are. Number one, how do you know the guy wasn't bribed? How do you know that the guy's wife doesn't work for a real estate developer? How do you know that it isn't a woman and her husband works for a real estate developer? How do you know that a real estate developer didn't promise him or her a job afterwards? This is corruption. This does stink to high heaven. I am very surprised that there hasn't been a lawsuit brought already. And let me give you one reason why it might not be. Lawsuits are expensive. They're difficult. And how many can you bring? We've been bringing nothing but lawsuits from the Democratic Party and our supporters on electors, voting rights, so many things, drop boxes. You get litigation weary. But in this particular case, anonymous legislators cannot legislate under our Constitution. It's a violation of due process. It's also a violation of our right to what's called the Republican form of government in the Constitution. And a Republican doesn't mean Republican Party, just like democracy doesn't mean only Democrats. Republic means no monarch and a government where you've elected representatives do things. Well, when you have a gerrymandered legislature say that we're going to let any one of us, even if we were paid off, even if we are corrupt, even if our spouses work for a guy who wants to build condos in that forest, because it's on some very, very attractive lake area, that's okay. Well, no, that's not okay. That is not okay. I'm calling the Republican Party out. Identify the guy. Number two, bring a suit. Maybe the ACLU, maybe the teachers, maybe League of Women Voters, maybe any other group. And say, number one, no anonymous legislating. That's not democracy, and it's not a Republican form of government. It's a violation of due process. And number two, to have a gerrymandered legislature, let one legislature, let legislator legislate, is a violation of the Constitution also. You can't say that any legislator can block the budget and there won't be a budget for the state of Wisconsin. Well, the same thing here. And what it is a lot of these people are really in the hands of real estate developers, just like they're in the hands of the manufacturers. Somebody's got to come out and say it. I'm saying it. Why is this the only radio station that's saying it? Joe, thanks a lot for calling in. Going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Do you love getting rewards when you shop? Then shop Knucklehead CBD and Vapes with the Knuckleheads Club. Every $10 spent gets you closer to 25% off. No matter what you buy, make sure you buy Knuckleheads. Stop in Saturday and Sunday and get 15% off Wellness and Wellness Plus, including Delta 8, THCP, CBD, and more, while getting points towards your next purchase.
Visit Knuckleheads Milwaukee at 2949 North Oakland Avenue or online at knuckleheads.shop.
Knuckleheads CBD and Vapes, your one-stop smoke shop.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at thericksmithshow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on The Shaw. A winter storm warning begins at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning and continues until 6 a.m. Saturday morning. Chance of snow tonight, otherwise overcast. Lows level off around 16, southeast winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Snow likely again tomorrow, high of 27. 2 to 4 inches of snow tonight through Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 16 degrees.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
A white sport coat and a pink.
Next, Matt, the director. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. And we're going to go to the lines again. Before I do, I want to add a fact. As Joe of Madison said, and as I said the other day, this purchase price of the 75,000 acres is all coming from the federal government, not from Wisconsin taxpayers. And federal, we pay much more in federal taxes than we ever get back in Wisconsin. The Republican Party has let one anonymous legislator now block getting a payment for 75,000 acres for just hunting, fishing, and hiking and boating. And, of course, knocking off $1 billion for a train. And then most recently, hundreds of millions for a train between Madison and Milwaukee. Opposing all of it. They're opposing all of it, even though it's our return of our federal dollars. Going back to the lines, you're in order. I'll take you in order. Andy of Beaver Dam, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Mind today, Andy.
Well, Matt, happy holidays to you in the first place. Do you think now,
same to you, Andy,
hopefully after the first of the year, are any of these Trump things going to get traction to the point where Merrick Garland or will finally take some action, whether it's the classified documents or the insurrection? I mean, you know, I mean, the time, it's really important to get things going in the early part of 23. Like you said the other day, if you wait till the middle, it's going to be looked at as a political thing. Whereas, you know, somebody should have to answer to all of these things that have come up through the committees and everything. Do you think there's any, what would be your intuition, shall we say?
Right. Well, you know, I hear what anybody else hears. I read the papers. However, I am convinced from experience that he is going to get criminally charged. And Garland, I think, is reluctant. He's cautious. He's sat back. He's investigated, which is good. He's put in Jack Smith as a special prosecutor. But this is getting intolerable right now. If Garland does not prosecute him after this committee, a bipartisan committee, recommended four felonies, as well as two felonies against John Eastman, his lawyer, and with the promise of more to come. And on Tuesday, Trump on True Social, that's his network, his True Social. Here's what Trump said. He said, the government should be overthrown. Biden is not legitimate. And he's basing it on what Elon Musk said about Twitter before he bought it. And this guy, when he's four felonies and he's saying the government should be overthrown and the president is not legitimate. At some point, if a guy keeps punching you in the face and you do nothing, what do you think? I don't see how it's possible not to charge him. And remember something, the January 6th committee was not at all looking at the classified documents issue. And one of Mike Pence's senior people was on TV the other day and made a very, very good point. She said, you know, this is really disturbing. There's video showing strangers milling around near that storeroom where the classified documents were that related to the nuclear capabilities of other countries. And they were milling around for a while. It didn't even have a secure lock. And she posed the question, why? Why did he do it? Who did he show it to already? Why did he show it to him? Who is he going to show it to? Why did he move it out of Mar-a-Lago after he got the subpoena? Where are the rest of them now? They know there's other stuff now. Look, Andy, Trump is on the take. He's desperate, and he's desperate financially. The Russians have him. They've been funding him for years, and he hasn't repaid a lot of stuff. And, you know, this is espionage is what it is. If Merrick Garland does not go after him for the classified documents and the four charges recommended by the bipartisan January 6th committee, I think Biden would lose in 2024, and he'd have to fire him. He'd have to fire the guy. And he should fire him if he doesn't do it. I think he will do it. Thanks for calling. Gina Beauclair, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Gene?
Great show as usual and wonderful callers, Matt. You know, I had something to say, but please mention the Supreme Court justice that we all need to get out and support because she believes in following the Wisconsin Constitution and laws. But, you know, something that's been bugging me about the insurrection, you know, and I was thinking about this, and I'm wondering if other people have thought the same thing. You know, this was planned out. People had weapons. You know, a lot of people said, well, if we would have did it, it would have even been more weapons used. But they were stopped. However, they had a noose for Pence. He was next in line after Trump, you know, to take Trump's place if anything happened to Trump or if he got kicked out of office or whatever. They had a noose for him. They were also going after the, you know, House leader, Nancy Pelosi, you know, to kill her. You know, that's really, you know, it didn't hit me till, you know, watching the videos and stuff, because those guys were really, really out for blood. What would have happened, you know, if they would have been eliminated from those areas and we would have been, there wouldn't have been anybody to take Trump's place legally, would have there, or does that go down the line of succession? That is.
Right. Yeah, Gene, that's very good. I'm going to start to respond, then we're going to a break, and then I'm going to respond to you more. It's very important. First of all, they came within 40 feet of Mike Pence. They said, hang Mike Pence. They had a gallows. They would have killed him. They went through the halls and said, oh, Nancy. They were going to stomp her to death. An 82-year-old, 100-pound woman, they were going to stomp her to death. There was a murderous crowd. The people leading it were murderous. I'm going to respond to you further. Excellent call. Going to a break. Lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Carnation.
The Shaw 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. President Biden greeted Ukraine's President Zelensky today at the White House with some big news.
We're going to continue to strengthen Ukraine's ability to defend itself, particularly air defense, and that's why we're going to be providing Ukraine with Patriot missile batteries.
is part of another $1 billion aid package. The panel investigating January 6 will release its final report soon. Congressman Adam Schiff talked about why former President Trump should face criminal charges.
Donald Trump committed all of these offenses, and as the Congress itself was the victim of some of them, our democracy, all of them, we had an obligation to report what we knew to the Justice Department.
A huge winter storm is now moving in just in time for Christmas. WCBS meteorologist Craig Allen is tracking conditions for us.
This is going to be a snowstorm with bitterly, bitterly cold temperatures blowing that snow around and reducing visibility down to near zero at times in whiteout conditions.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. There's a blizzard forecast just in time for one of the busiest travel weekends of the year. AAA says about 2.2 million people in Wisconsin will travel 50 miles between Friday and January 2nd. That would be more than 72,000 more people than last year. Those travelers run the risk of being stranded by several inches of blowing snow and life-threatening wind chills. The Palace Theater in the Wisconsin Dells is abruptly shutting its doors and canceling all upcoming performances. A social media post made the announcement without offering any explanation. Some customers are left with useless tickets. They're being told to ask for refunds or contact their credit card companies. In sports, Marquette lost to Providence last night 103-98. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Join Max Inc. Radio this New Year's Eve as we present live at thespaceship.tv. Max Inc. Radio will broadcast live from the spaceship.tv studios 6 p.m. to midnight, plus live performances from the Civil Engineers. Linda and the Zeros. Porky's Groove Machine.
Who's there, the Spice Girls? Muy caliente.
Oh, they're not hitting. Live streaming video at thespaceship.tv and live on this Civic Media station. Let's party New Year's Eve starting at 6 p.m. live from thespaceship.tv. Happy New Year's from Civic Media and Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
What is dedication?
I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov.
Good morning, Captain. Well, good morning to you.
Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to finish up my comments on what Gina Beauclair said. It's a good call. And Gene used the word line of succession, and I think that would not have applied for this reason, Gene. If they had killed Pence and killed Nancy Pelosi on January 6th, and God forbid, and of course, with it, they came within 40 feet of Pence, and they didn't know it. My God. And Nancy Pelosi was hustled off to a safe room, but they were after her. But let's assume for the sake of argument that the unthinkable happened, and that had happened. Remember something, Trump was still president until January 20th. There was no succession. And on January 20th at noon, Joe Biden became president. And there's nothing Trump could do to stop it. If they had killed the president, the vice president, and the speaker, there would have been such horror nationwide, I think, that any other attempt at fake electors and all that would have fallen by the wayside. Now, when Joe Biden took office at noon on January 20, the line of succession becomes, if something happened to Joe, Kamala Harris, the vice president, or the new speaker, and they presumably the Democrats would have elected a new speaker. And then the next one would have been the line of succession after that goes the president of the Senate. Now, the president of the Senate is usually by seniority. So when the Democrats have the Senate, it was Patrick Leahy. And when the Republicans had it, it was Grassley. Well, Grassley, my God almighty. I mean, I don't know if he is all his marbles, to tell you the truth, but that's the way it goes. Then it's after that, it'll end up going the cabinet. The Secretary of State is first, and I think Secretary of Defense, Treasury, Attorney General, and then it goes to the rest of them. At one time, you know, they always have a thing called a designated survivor. In other words, if something happens to the Capitol and there's only one person left, they want him not to be in the Capitol so he can be president. And back, I think it was under Obama, Dan Glickman of Kansas was the agricultural secretary, and they made him the designated survivor. And they put him in some kind of secluded area in Connecticut, and he had full Secret Service. And God forbid, my new novel, Milwaukee Jihad, J-I-H-A-D, uses that same theme, an ISIS attack on the Capitol during the State of the Union to attempt to wipe out everybody except the designated survivor, except because I was writing it, it turned out that some very bad things happened to ISIS and it didn't work. I don't want to give you a spoiler alert, but if you want a fun read, quick read, good stocking stuffer for if you have a last minute stocking stuffer need, Matt Flynn's, my novel, Milwaukee Jihad, J-I-H-A-D, just go on Amazon. Anyway, so Gene, it wouldn't have been a succession issue, but let's suppose that they had killed the vice president and the speaker and say the president had died, then it goes. I mean, it goes president of the Senate. And frankly, Leahy stepped down. So I don't know who the senior Democrat is, but whoever the senior Democrat is right now, that's the president of the Senate. And that person would be the president. And then it goes through the cabinet. And then it goes through, believe it or not, the Congress by, I think, seniority. So now that's not going to happen, but it was not a succession issue. What it was it was a felony. He knew that they were armed. People told him they were armed, and he said, "Well, they're not here to hurt me." Well, hey, who do you think they were here to hurt? They were here to hurt law enforcement. They beat them up. They beat up the cops. They almost stamped one of them to death, Andy Fanone. He ended up having to retire and had a heart attack and has cerebral damage. It kicked him in the head. Why didn't they go to jail for a long time for doing that? What do you think would happen if you did that to a cop? Any cop. Getting carried away. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Bill? Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. You have the floor. What's on your mind today, Bill?
Good afternoon, Matt. Merry Christmas. To address just a couple of points. One, if Donald Trump isn't either incarcerated or labeled a felon, this will keep coming back. Number two, if we don't address people like Ron Johnson and have him tried for what he did, it will keep coming back. And with Robin Voss and that guy that stands in the DNR's way that isn't supposed to be there, we don't address
Fred Prent,
that.
Fred Prent, yeah.
Fred Prent, right. I actually called his office. He's a dentist up in Wausau. And if we don't address these people in 2023 or before the end of the year, it will come back, and it will come back, and next time, I believe it's going to come back twice as bad as it happened this time. But the point being, if we allow this to happen by either not taking action or just, well, you know, now we don't have to put Trump in jail, we don't do it, it's over. And I'm speaking from other countries. I've seen this happen. Your thoughts, Matt. I'll hang up.
Yeah. I agree. There's got to be consequences. And here, this all played out on prime time. I remember watching the video. Now, when you have a bunch of people go up, invade the Capitol with the intent of murdering the vice president, they put a gallows up, and they did not build that gallows in 10 minutes. That gallows got built before that day. They had a gallows, and they hang Mike Pence. Trump ginned that up. He said, if Mike does the right thing, great, but if he doesn't, oh, well. And then they went through the halls. Oh, Nancy, frankly, if they'd caught any congressman, they would have killed them. You can't, there in when Truman was president, there was a dispute about the status of Puerto Rico and Puerto Rican independence. In those days, there was no security, and a bunch of Puerto Rican activists went to the gallery with guns and shot members of Congress on the floor and killed them. All right. This is when Harry Truman was president in the late 40s. Killed them. Those people went to prison for the rest of their lives. Now, when you bring a weapon, some of these people had weapons, and also they had poles that they hit the cops with, clubs, and you go up with the intent of murdering the vice president of the United States and the Speaker of the House, and just because you are unsuccessful, you get off? No. That's attempted murder. Attempted murder is punished exactly like murder itself. There's no death penalty in this state, but you can get life in prison for that. Bill, I agree with 100%. There has to be a consequence. This was too public and too awful and too much of a spear right in the heart of our democracy. If nothing is done, if Trump is not prosecuted for the felonies that were recommended by the bipartisan January 6th committee, and frankly, Bill, for stealing classified documents with nuclear secrets on them and then hiding them and moving them with the intent to show them to somebody. If he is not prosecuted for that, there was a woman who took one document having to do with Ukraine. She worked for the CIA to show to the media about how corrupt Trump was with Ukraine. One document. And she got 5 years in prison. And this guy, and she did it not to be paid. She did it to blow the whistle. You can't do that with a classified document. This guy had boxes of them, and he had them in a warehouse, or a storehouse, I should say, storeroom in Mar-a-Lago, with video of strangers milling around. There are all kinds of staff, waiters. There are all kinds of bartenders. There are all kinds of people who make up the hotel rooms, guests. They don't check out their identities. And everybody in the intelligence service knew that was there, and so did the foreign intelligence service. How hard would it be to get to have somebody go in as a busboy or a waitress and go down and go through that storeroom? And as it was, Trump moved some of those documents after the subpoena and even after the search warrant. Now, if he's not prosecuted, and a woman who's a whistleblower shows one document to a journalist and goes away for 5 years, and anybody else who made a threat against the vice president and the speaker, much less went up there with a weapon, would get jail time. That is a signal to people in this country that if they don't like an election, they can go and kill the vice president and the speaker or a congressman. And you're going to see it happen when they're campaigning in the states. This has to be dealt with very fairly and very firmly. Bill, thanks a lot, as always, for calling in. Well, there's a $1.7 trillion omnibus bill that Mitch McConnell and the Republicans are on board with. Democrats are on board with in the Senate. Includes increased defense spending, which is what McConnell wanted, more than Biden had asked for. $45 billion for Ukraine. We're using them as surrogates. It's not only a moral issue, but they are pounding the hell out of the Ruskies and taking a pounding themselves. It's a genocide by Russian sadists. I'll have more to say about that. A handful of Republicans are opposing it. Marjorie Taylor Greene, not a legitimate member of Congress in my view. But Kevin McCarthy, I should say, is fighting Mitch McConnell. And now he's saying he won't back it. Now, let me give you the timeline on that. Bill of Oconomowoc just said about Ron Johnson. Well, but Ron Johnson even opposed extending the debt limit by 1 week. 1 week to permit these negotiations. Mitch McConnell finally agreed to a deal with the Senate Democrats that there would be spending through next September or October, the fall, with the debt limit extended till then, to get Ukraine its money and our military their money, and then we can look at it again then. I didn't like that. We wanted a budget for the rest of the next 2 years, a biennial budget. The Republicans insist on these cliff budgets, these stopgap measures every week, every month, every three. That's ridiculous. However, Kevin McCarthy's opposing even that. Now, can Nancy Pelosi, and I know the House already approved it, but can Nancy Pelosi and the Senate get together? Frequently, they have reconciliation conferences about small things. I do not know whether there's a material issue on that here or not. But anything that's going to be done has got to be done by January 2nd or 3rd, because when McCarthy is sworn in, he is so desperate to be speaker. He's desperate to be speaker. He has absolutely no integrity whatsoever. He was the guy that called Trump on January 6th and said, you got to stop it. Then he denied he made the call. Then he said, Trump is done. We know who's responsible. Then he saw the polls and he sucked up to Trump. This guy has absolutely no integrity, none whatsoever. And it looks like he may be opposed by the five Republicans needed to stop him on the first ballot, believe it or not. Now Lauren Boebert, the Annie Oakley out there in Rifle, Colorado, the one that won by 500 votes, is nuttier than a $3 bill. She said she will not support him unless he agrees to a procedure where the speaker can be removed by a vote of the House. Right now, the speaker is elected for 2 years. Well, that's fatal for a speaker. If you agreed to that, you'll get malcontents bringing motions against you all the time. And there are three or four others who said they won't vote from under any circumstances. If he doesn't get it on the first ballot, will they try to beat her up, take her in a closet and work her over, figuratively speaking? I don't know. But this guy is doing anything he can to suck up to that wing, to suck up to Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, Paul Gosar, all of these people, lowlifes, the detritus of the Congress. That's what he's doing. That is exactly what he's doing. And he won't even back spending money for our own military. 1.7, any omnibus bill, no money for Ukraine, anybody else. He just wants to be speaker, and he thinks he can suck up to the five people who are standing in his way. So stay tuned. Stay tuned. Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi have a high wire act they're doing. They're very good at it. Stay tuned. We'll be back on this issue in the future. Going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Mental health challenges impact us all in some way. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services is working hard to meet these challenges, ushering a new model of mental health care, redesigned with you in mind. This community-based system meets people where they're at, with culturally competent services, better access, and no wrong doors to begin the journey. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services, here for you, close to home. If you or someone you know is experiencing a mental health emergency, contact 414-257-7222.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Dad, I picked up your pills, made your lunch, and your laundry is done.
When you care for a loved one, you take care of everything. But are you taking care of yourself? Find free care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A winter storm warning begins at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning and continues until 6 a.m. Saturday morning. Cloudy tonight with a chance of snow. Lows dip down to about 16. Southeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Snow likely tomorrow. High of 27. Overcast skies. 2 to 4 inches of snow tonight through Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 16 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
You're my only hope.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to follow up on one thing. One of the callers, I think it was Gina Beauclair, asked for clarification, but just to repeat, the candidate running for the Supreme Court, whom I'm strongly suggesting everybody support, is Judge Janet. Her name is Janet Protasiewicz, Polish name, good strong name from Milwaukee, Protasiewicz, Protasiewicz. She is an outstanding prosecutor by background, more than 20 years, prosecuting murders, rapes, some of the worst crimes in Milwaukee. Number two, she's a several-term judge in Milwaukee with a great statewide reputation. I'll tell you, some very fine people are supporting her. Justice Rebecca Dallet on the Supreme Court is supporting her. I think Senator Kelda Royes from Madison is supporting her. I think that there are more than 900 judges, lawyers, elected people around the state supporting her. Dana Wachs, a former legislator, is supporting her. There's a lot of people around the state. I mean, Lester Pines, a great civil rights lawyer in Madison, is supporting her. So you're going to find around the state very strong support. And why are they supporting her? It really comes down to this. If you do not elect her, you will very likely get gerrymandering for the rest of this decade, and then a gerrymandered legislature who will gerrymander themselves to 2040. Now, 2040, I hope I'm alive. I feel good. And I know Evan will be alive. And, Calvin will be alive, but not everybody's going to be alive in 2040. So do you want a gerrymandered legislature for the rest of your life? Judge Janet Protasiewicz has said that she insists on representative democracy, and she hopes somebody will bring another lawsuit right away, not waiting until 2030, to test gerrymander when she's on the court. Remember, there are three Democrats already on the court who are opposed to gerrymander. There are four Republicans on the court who support gerrymander. One of them, Brian Hagedorn, has voted courageously because he's a Republican and constitutionally and well on a lot of election things. For instance, certifying Joe Biden, so forth. And my hat's off to him for that. But the truth of the matter is, if you elect Janet Protasiewicz, you will then have, I don't want to say four Democrats, they're all running as independents. You're not going to see Democrat or Republican on the platform. I would say four democracy proponents. You would have fair maps. You would have drop boxes back. You would have fair voting procedures. When, for instance, numbers of machines per, say, 100 or 1,000 people, no funny stuff, no funny stuff. If you vote for her primary opponent, a guy named Dan Kelly, Dan Kelly is a dyed-in-the-wool Trumper. Dyed-in-the-wool Trumper. You might as well put Gableman on the court. Well, Gableman was on the court. That's exactly what I'm talking about. He is absolutely pro-gerrymander, getting rid of the boxes, drop boxes, and he would have voted not to certify Joe Biden. So everybody out there, I don't know how many times I can say this, so I'm blue in the face. If you don't like gerrymander, and I don't because I think it's unconstitutional, vote for Judge Janet Protasiewicz. The primary is in February. The general election is the beginning of April. There are four people so far that say they're running. We won't know until the beginning of January when they have to file their papers. We won't know. And they'll all say a lot of things. But I am telling you, if you don't want gerrymander anymore, if you want fair maps, vote for Judge Janet Protasiewicz. If you vote for Dan Kelly and he gets in there, you're going to have gerrymander the rest of your life. Because every 10 years, a gerrymandered legislature will spawn another gerrymandered legislature. So Janet Protasiewicz, excellent. I know her. I know her husband, Greg Sell. He's a lawyer. Very, very fine people. Well, you know, there's right now, Biden is meeting with Zelensky in the White House. Delighted to see it. He met him as a head of state, which he is, in the South Lawn. Biden, they had Ukrainian flags and American flags. Biden was wearing the yellow and blue of the Ukraine flag on his tie. Zelensky's going to address Congress tonight. Biden has now said he will send Patriot missiles to help them ward off this sadistic, genocidal attack on their water supply, their electrical grid in civilian areas, the sewer system in civilian areas. What Putin has done, because he can't win on the battlefield, because his troops are demoralized, they don't want to be there, they are deserting. He has brought in jihadists from Chechnya under the rule, and I say that advisedly, rule of Ramzan Kadyrov, one of the worst torturers, sadists, and genociders in the history of Asia, and that's saying something. That's saying something. And they go and they stand behind the Russian troops, and anybody who deserts, they shoot them. They'll shoot a Russian with Putin's permission. Then they go in and they rape every woman they can find, including girls, and they murder civilians. This is a genocide. This is sadism. In this package that Mitch McConnell is supporting, but Kevin McCarthy is opposing, is more money for Ukraine to get them the weapons they need. And Mitch McConnell, look, Mitch, Moscow Mitch, I'm not from Moscow Mitch, but he said something interesting. He said, you know, well, I'm not doing this for speeches, and I'm not doing this because out of sentimentality. The Ukrainian people are good and brave people, and they are standing up to the Russians. They are helping us out. This makes it much less likely that the Russians will attack other friends and allies of ours in Eastern Europe, much less likely that they will have the military power to continue to oppose us. That's exactly right. You're out of your mind not to support excellent surrogates. Excellent surrogates. And I've said this before, and this is for the ears of future politicians, young ones. At some point, we have got to decide, should Russia continue as a country? And I don't mean nuclear war. I mean, by attrition, they only have 145 million people over 11 time zones, all the gas and oil, and all they have produced is sadism, genocide, and fraud for over 100 years. I think our objective should be that that country no longer exists. We come to the end of the show. Great show, and great callers, as always. Matt Flynn Direct will be back same time, same place tomorrow. And happy holidays to everyone. And I am signing off for today.
Women hear
hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Knucklehead CBD and Vapes is now online at knuckleheads.shop. Step into your favorite smoke shop without leaving your home. Find grinders, papers, Delta 8, and more, all from your computer or phone. With free shipping on all orders over $50, you'll be sure to find exactly what you like. You can also order for in-store pickup, so there's no wait. Knucklehead CBD and Vapes.
Visit Knuckleheads Milwaukee at 2949 North Oakland Avenue.
Order online today at knuckleheads.shop.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.